Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Of course, what's trending is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive since 1942. Telly's certified techs have delivered complete care and top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Well, number one on what's trending, the Bills drop their second game in a row to the Atlanta Falcons this time around on Monday Night Football. The Bills sitting at 4-2. They're technically in second place in the AFC East due to a tiebreaker.
First time in a long time.
With the New England Patriots. Yeah, it's been a bit since the Patriots were atop that division. Also, the Commanders lost on a last-second field goal to the Chicago Bears. That's because Jaden Daniels had a key fumble as they were driving, set up a short field for Caleb Williams and company. The Bears improved to 3-2 on the season. Their wide receiver, though, DJ Moore, did stay behind in the D.C. area as he was transported to a hospital after the game. I haven't seen an update on him.
Said it was precautionary.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a good sign. Also, the Commanders lost to the Bears last night. Bears! Caleb Williams getting the better of Jaden Daniels in their matchup. I say Jaden Daniels, I mean, the injury stuff coupled with, like, good play, but not like the kind of play they were getting from him last year. The sophomore stuff, we just want to ignore it. No matter how good a guy is in their rookie year, sophomore slumps can get anybody, and I think it's important to note that that's the case. Next up on Watch Trending, still no update on Josh Simmons and his availability for Sunday's game. Nate Taylor will join us coming up at 1 o'clock. I was scouring, looking through, seeing if any NFL insider guys had anything. Nothing on whether or not, when and if he will be available for Sunday. Obviously, he missed this Sunday's game on what appeared to be last-minute notice to the team, at least according to some reports. Hopefully, Nate Taylor's maybe got a little more insight for us at 1 o'clock, but I'll say crickets. Andy Reid talks tomorrow at 11:45, so I'm sure he'll get asked about it again, but he's been pretty sour about it Sunday and Monday, so we'll see.
It's not so much what is it, it's that...
Will he be available?
Will he be available? It's a very fair question at this point in time. Elsewhere, and what's trending, the Dodgers get game one, a crazy game against the Milwaukee Brewers that had one of the more bizarre double plays you will ever see, and maybe one of the more memorable double plays in postseason history. Recent history as well. It looked like it was about to be a grand slam for the Dodgers. It goes from that to a ball off the glove of Frelick, the center fielder for the Brewers. They end up getting the force out at home, and then Contreras, the catcher, then walks over the third and gets another force out there. It was a bizarre sequence last night. So Dodgers take care of that. Meanwhile, the Mariners are up 2-0. They get two road wins to open the series.
Heavy favorites to go to the World Series now.
Yep.
Obviously, Polanco's been incredible for them in the entire postseason run, and that continues. I still can't believe a baseball game went down as a 404-foot double ground into double play is how that game is officially scored, which makes no sense. Baseball's been fun overall. I mentioned it yesterday, Gold, so I'll bring it up again. The AP Top 25 women's college basketball is out. UConn. What? No way. UConn is not unanimous. South Carolina got 4 votes. UConn, the number one rated preseason team for women's college basketball. None of the locals in the top 25.
I wonder if K-State was getting any votes, because K-State's been good.
Not sure.
Over the last couple of years.
Sure.
They have, but they also, like, that was with a, you know, a star player who obviously suffered through some injuries.
K-State got votes. KU also got votes.
There you go.
But neither made it.
Correct.
Top 25.
Lastly, on what's trending, and we can probably talk about this more. I got an email this morning. We get these PR emails randomly. Some of them you just delete right away. Others you chuckle at. That'd be this one. We all know what happened with Brian Branch and Juju Smith-Schuster on Sunday Night Football. The Action Network released a PR study today. Study air quotes. Quote, study shows, And our data shows the Chiefs rank as 7th most childish team in the league. What? That's a real thing. It's a real thing. They're just trying to get clicks and attention. Kansas City Chiefs rank 7th in NFL for childish behavior, slightly more composed than Detroit. It goes on to say that the 2025 NFL Childishness Index places the Chiefs 7th, the Lions 6th, tracking emotional volatility through fines, taunting penalties, and fan behavior. Kansas City's 50.8 score and single taunting calls show a team that thrives on energy but channels it more effectively than its rivals. The 10 most childish teams, number 1, Houston, number 2, Minnesota, number 3, Denver, number 4, Atlanta, number 5, Seattle, number 6, Detroit, number 7, Kansas City, 8, Arizona, 9, Dallas, and 10, the Baltimore
I'm just,
Ravens.
Can I ask, as a part of this study, who's tracking this?
Yeah, so they
like, said, who's spotting in the crowd for this supposed childish behavior? Or is this just like what they see on social media?
So they are using some actual data, they say.
Some actual data.
Fines.
The rest is just made up.
They went up fine data, like dollar amount, taunting penalties, average roster age. What I don't get is how they got the fan behavior score of an 86.2 out of 100. It says fan behavior score indicates passion without chaos.
If we're talking about fan behavior, the Bills might have the worst.
What? I mean, chaos are lighting tables on fire.
The Bills are throwing snowballs and bottles of water on the field. They're shoving players.
If Lance Leipold had a vote, he'd complain about Texas Tech and tortillas.
Yeah, well, there was a pocket knife as well. But yeah, this normally we just ignore some of these emails. This one was too good not to at least bring up for a few minutes.
7 most childish.
A real thing in their mind. Yeah, this was a real study that they conducted.
I do think, I think some of this is coming back to, I was not prepared for the amount of refs tweets as it relates to the Chiefs.
It's back, man.
I genuinely think this show probably needs to go ahead and create a little segment where we go over the top 5 ref tweets. No, ref tweets as it relates to the Chiefs. And have a good little chuckle over some of the ones that have been taking place over the last few. Because it has gotten out of control.
Yeah, it's back to where it's back to where it was a year or so ago. I mean, I don't have to rehash it. Yesterday, I told you it's all a good sign of people are fearful of the Chiefs again. Last year, we brought up, what do we bring up, Cody? Maybe we need to get shirts made this time around. We brought up CDS. We brought up last year, CDS.
Chiefs, I don't know if that's related to Chiefs, the refs.
Oh, absolutely. Insane. Chiefs derangement syndrome. It existed last year, and then it went away in the offseason. The team just stunk, and the dynasty's over, and they're not relevant anymore. That's what we were told. And then the first 2 weeks of the season, CDS didn't exist. It only comes around in the wintertime, I guess. Now the weather's starting to turn a little bit, and it's back. People have CDS shots. Whatever it is.
I mean,
it's a problem. There is a shirt idea that could sell well. Something along the lines of, it's not the refs, we're just good, or the Chiefs are just good.
Or we just own it. Like, I mean, yeah. Like a couple of weeks ago, I had said, and maybe this is just our stance, we'll just own it. Rather than we'll disarm you. That's the way you handle like bullies or anything else in this world. And instead you say, you know, if your team was any good, then the refs would like you to. You should actually try being good at football, and then maybe they'd make calls your way. It's not my fault your team stinks and you can't win games. If your team was consistently good at winning football games, they would also give you the calls. You've made your own bed, and instead you're a stinky franchise who the refs don't care about. And if your team mattered at all, you would also get the benefit of
this. Yeah, I just get
annoyed.
There
was a study that claimed the Tom Brady Patriots didn't have this effect. Yeah. And I'm like, are we just living in a delusion?
I just get annoyed with social media can be a great thing. It could also be a disaster, as we all know. And everybody can tweet whatever the hell they want. That's fine. But just the air, the oxygen we unfortunately give to conspiracy theories is absolutely absurd. And this is another example of that. But
somebody asked where our show ranks amongst childish media for midday
in the country.
Tough to say. We know we rank in handsomeness. We've covered that. We know where we rank in just people liking the show and childish. I don't know for the most childish.
Oh, let's say if there was 50, if there are 50 shows, if there's 50 shows, we're not inside. Trust me, there's other shows that we're not inside the top five. I can promise you. Trust me.
Nah, I think
we're in the top 20. Yeah, I was going to say top 20 of that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're a respectable ranking in childish meters. I mean, we did play that clip of Drew saying his lips were going to be tired already like three times today. But in fairness, I didn't make him say that.
They would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have our moments for sure. You know, I think there's a I think we strike a good balance. Yeah,
I'm not saying there's not zero childish moments, but I mean, if you listen to other midday shows, we're certainly not there. We're not at the highest end of this.
I mean, what would be the I mean, the fact that we're above board now. I think if you just look at the past, I wonder how much of that plays into it.
I will say though, in the last like 2 weeks, this show had like a fart sound effect that we played like 80 times in a single show. So.
80?
I
don't
know.
I don't know about that.
We did play it a lot, and we laugh every time. So like,
I don't think so. I don't. We're not childish at all.
That's not helping our case to not be. We might be top 10.
You know what the article was that you just referenced?
Yeah,
that fart noise.
All right,
that's what that was.
We'll get to all 32 in just a couple of minutes. But there is a new favorite for the MVP in the NFL heading into Week 7.
Right.
That is one Patrick Mahomes. And I think that caught some people off guard as well. But I mean, if you just, you take
it happened before the end of the Bills
game. Yeah, by halftime of the Bills game.
They didn't even wait until the Bills had actually lost the football game. They just saw him down 21-7 and said, yeah, I think we're good here.
So Mahomes is first in total yards, first in total touchdowns, because he's running the ball a lot more than he ever has, and that is helping his case as well. He's second in the NFL in touchdown to turnover differential. He's got his best passer ratings for him since 2022, his deepest air yard per attempt since 2018. These are all things that point in that direction. And, you know, the offense, everybody, even the haters, agree that the offense is trending in an unbelievable direction. It looks like they're about to be high-flying and a problem for everybody again. So he should be right up there. I also have no issue, if you want to make the case right now heading into Week 7, that Baker Mayfield would win MVP if the vote was today. I would vote for Baker Mayfield right
MVP
this second.
If we gave MVP through 6 weeks.
Correct.
Sure.
But the reason why he's not the favorite currently is also this is a season-long award, and the thought is that Patrick Mahomes eventually might be the division leader, that the numbers are getting even more crazy. Baker Mayfield right now is doing unbelievable things, overcoming not having Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Egbuka and Bucky Irving, which is nuts. At some point, does that come back to bite him in the butt? And cause some problems for them. It hasn't yet, so he should be right up there with you. If you're Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, those should be the two at the top. Josh Allen's also not out of this conversation just because he's got the third best odds. But it is pretty telling that what a shift over the last 2 or 3 weeks. People are starting to realize Mahomes, the last 4 weeks, what he's been able to do statistically has been pretty crazy. You know, I tweeted out yesterday his numbers, I think it's the last 4 weeks that I looked up. I'm trying to pull it up real quick. I'm sorry. 98 for 145, 1,069 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, one interception in his last four games. And that one pick, of course, was that pick six.
Yeah. And of course, one of those interceptions this year is off of Travis Kelce's hands. That would have been a touchdown instead of an interception. But this goes to every year. Look, the only question I would have about Patrick Mahomes and the MVP as it sits right now is I know Baker Mayfield's story. And you and I know that whether we like it or not, part of winning MVP is the story. The reason why Josh Allen won the MVP last year instead of Lamar Jackson was, one, we're tired of giving it to Lamar Jackson. Two, this like AFC East and all this run and the stuff that happened with Josh Allen. Baker Mayfield's story is no Evans, no Godwin, no Bucky, now no Egbuka, putting up stats, hitting Tez Johnson for touchdowns. Here's the story. What is the Mahomes story? And then I'll give you his pacing stats for 17 games, of which we think we're going to have to play all 17 this year. What is Patrick Mahomes' story? Is it just he's been boring the last 2 years and he's back? I think that might be the biggest argument is he's back. Look, here he comes. That's his MVP story. Because right now his pace is 4,290 passing yards, 31 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 629 rushing yards, and 11 rushing touchdowns. So 42 total touchdowns and 4,800 total yards. He's going to be hurt because MVP voters are not going to bother to look up his rushing touchdowns and his rushing yards. They will look it up for Allen, and they will look it up for Lamar Jackson.
Oh,
they,
if he keeps they, this they up, though, people will. Tab. If he keeps this up, it will be, because it'll become part of the narrative. It's all about narrative, so it'll eventually become part of the narrative if that's the case. I mean, somebody texted in and said, Pat has dealt with the injuries as well for 3 years. Yeah, that's the MVP. They're not factoring in what happened in 2023 and carrying that
Unless
over.
The he's back part, right?
The he's just back the part. Back. But I think someone took issue with me saying that Baker's overcoming all these injuries, and he is. And they're saying, well, Pat did it 2 years ago. But Patrick Mahomes was not putting up those numbers. In fairness, that's just not reality of what he was doing. So I have no issue. You literally just said it is a thing for Baker. What do you mean it's a thing for Baker? The injuries? Absolutely it's a thing for Baker. Because it's happening this year. I don't know why, what are we confused by on this?
He's putting up
Patrick Mahomes for a couple years did not have top receivers. We all agree. What happened in 2023 or 2024 does not mean he gets that narrative when that's not the narrative this year. Baker Mayfield is down 4 weapons and is putting up numbers. That's why it works this year. 3 years from now, Baker Mayfield doesn't get a psych 2025 injuries for 2028.
Can I give you Josh Allen's MVP numbers from last
year? Yeah, absolutely.
Josh Allen went 13, because winning matters in this. So in this presumption, the betting market is telling you they think the Chiefs is winning the AFC West. Josh Allen last year had 400 less receiving yards than Patrick Mahomes is currently pacing at. He had three less passing touchdowns.
Receiving yards, rushing yards.
Last year,
Allen
had 3,731 passing yards.
Last year.
Patrick Mahomes is on pace for about 4,200, so 500 more. Last year, he had 28 passing touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes on pace for 31. He had 6 interceptions. That's exactly what Patrick Mahomes is pacing for. On the rushing yard stats, which also matter, it mattered for Josh Allen last year, sure should. He had, 531. Patrick Mahomes is pacing for more than that. And 12 rushing touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes is pacing for 11. Patrick Mahomes is pacing for more rushing yards, similar number of rushing touchdowns, more passing yards, more passing touchdowns, and the same number of interceptions. He's on pace to out Josh Allen, Josh Allen's MVP last year.
Yeah.
That's why he's the favorite.
Correct.
They're just banking on the fact that he'll eventually win his division.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
I also doubt the rushing numbers will continue on this trend all year. If the offense gets back to where we hope it gets, that won't continue.
But the passing yardage will be even higher.
Yeah.
He's on pace to finish with 600 more passing yards, too.
That's why a couple minutes ago, I think you said you don't think they're going to factor in the rushing. I would argue the fact that he is the favorite today, that is already being, remember, the sports books are not flat out predicting the winner. That's not how the odds work. We've talked about this for years on the show. You guys know, it is about, you know, where they think the market is heading, where the money is coming in and all that kind of stuff. It is not necessarily flat out predict. They are not currently just flat out predicting that he's necessarily the winner, right? This is just where the money is heading and the market is trending. And that doesn't guarantee a win, but Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, the co-favorites at some spots. Patrick Mahomes, the outright favorite at a few other spots for MVP. Things are all back. People are conspiracy theory refs. Mahomes, the MVP favorite. The Chiefs are co-favorites for the Super Bowl. We're back. Everything's back. It's a great time.
I'm curious. If Mahomes and Baker Mayfield had the exact same stat line, Baker Mayfield's winning the MVP still, right?
Yes.
I would agree with that. Yes.
Yes.
Because I think it's hard to comp. It's hard to comp Mahomes' numbers with Josh Allen's numbers last year, because I know Josh Allen won the MVP, but it was a storyline.
But they comp to Lamar Jackson's.
Which is where I think the argument would be more of, if you compared him, I don't know what Lamar's numbers were last year, but if you could, I think that
5,000 total yards and 45 total touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes this year is on pace for 4,900 total yards, actually 5,000, pretty much the same number. And he's on pace for, based on the numbers I just gave you, 43 total touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that's the comp, because I think, again, we can sit here and say, well, yeah, Mahomes is deserving of the MVP more than Baker Mayfield, but if they had literally the exact same stat line, then we know that the storyline would be, well, it's Baker, and which is, again, say what you will. I don't know what the odds would be in that sort of a situation, but if they had the exact same stats and both of them won the division, I don't know how the odds would line up with that, but we know that Baker would get it.
Don't forget, on Tuesdays, our lunch partner, our friends over at Pearl Tavern in Lee's Summit. Reel in a deal every Tuesday at Pearl Tavern in Lee's Summit. $2.50 fish and shrimp tacos, $5 house margaritas made with that premium Jose Cuervo Silver. All right, let's get to all 32. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, I know, in depth, but good luck trying to figure out who the heck are the top five teams in the NFL. I think heading into week 7 now, you could have 8 to 10 different versions of a top five list. Like, and nobody can really, you can say, oh, I would have had this team, but there's not many quote unquote wrong answers right now for a top five list. I tried to come up with mine a little bit and I was like, okay, like you have to include the Bucs in the top five. I think they're a lock. I still think the Lions are a top five team. I understand they just got beat by Kansas City. We may not believe the Colts are going to the Super Bowl, but they're 5-1. I kind of have to have them in there. And then it's after that, the final two spots, I could throw in 6 other teams. I could put the Chiefs there. I could put the Eagles. I could put the Packers there. Somebody might want to put the Patriots there. Someone still might want to put the Bills.
There's part of me that doesn't want to include the Colts for the other teams.
I know. But to me, I'm just like, they're 5-1. I kind of, and they're number one offense in football. Yeah. Like now they are. So first down percentage and all that. So I just think this is a fascinating start to the NFL season and how wide open it appears to be at this point.
They also, the Colts, I think, have at least I would think a decent defense. I don't know exactly where it ranks, but I imagine it's somewhere in the top 15. It's probably not like it's 4th, actually. Jeez, okay. It's a lot better than I thought. So, yeah, it'd be hard to argue against him, at least on that end. For me, I was looking across the NFL, and I can feel it. I can feel it deep in my soul. And I'm tired of the excuse of, well, this is just what NFL teams do. You don't have to. You can operate different in an effort to be a winning organization and a winning franchise. I'm going to tell you right now, Panthers, don't do it. Do not pay Bryce Young. They're 3-3. He has 10 passing touchdowns and 5 interceptions. What they're going to tell themselves is even worse now, because they're going to say, but if we let him go, he's going to turn into the next Sam Darnold, or he's going to turn into the next other guy who left town and found more success elsewhere. It's not for you. If it's going to work out, it's not going to be for you. And I understand letting him go and then looking stupid as he goes and has success somewhere else, like Daniel Jones or somebody else, you're going to talk yourself into it. Do not pay him. Do not pay him top quarterback money. Do not pay him $40 million a year, $50 million a year, whatever the hell it's going to cost in order to keep him there. It is not a fit. He is not good enough for you, and go search for the better fit for your organization. I can sense it already, because they're at least mediocre this year after their win against Dallas. They're 500. They're going to end up paying Bryce Young or picking up his 5th-year option and paying him a year from now. Do whatever you have to do to not pay Bryce Young. It's not going to work.
He's not playing bad, but I wonder if his...
That's what every team tells themselves before they give Daniel Jones $140 million.
I know, but I wonder if his, like, because even if Bryce gets paid, what does that even look like? Like, obviously, he's not getting top-tier money. Like, I don't know what...
But there's still a baseline. I mean, he's not going to get paid like a 20th best quarterback in football, even if you think that's what he is. He's going to get paid like a top 10, because that's just the rate of where the contracts are going. Bryce Young... It's weird when his wins are all come from behind victories for the most part, and they're all game winning drives, which normally is viewed as a real positive thing. In his case, I feel people are like, well, he shouldn't even be in that position. So I do think he's unfairly criticized, but I am not all that impressed.
I mean, Geno Smith got $38 million a year. Bryce would probably get 40 at least. Maybe 50. Kyler got 40, jeez, 46.
$50 million a year.
I'm telling you, teams tell themselves they can't do it. We have to. Oh, there's no choice. There are choices. There are choices. And some of this comes down to being the GM and trying not to lose your job. I get it. This is worth, because if you're going to lose the job anyway, if you pay Bryce Young, so just take the risk that maybe you draft a better quarterback and fired a better one or whatever. Don't pay Bryce Young. That's all.
Said, Cody out here sounding like Dr. Seuss book. Yeah. Do not pay that man. Do not pay him. Sam, I am.
Do Bryce not Young. Pay him with a boat. Do not pay him. He's not the GOAT. Whatever it is, just don't pay his ass.
So I'm wondering if you guys saw this. Mike Tomlin was asked about the Browns trading Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals. And he said, quote, Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a QB you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's my personal feeling.
Makes sense.
These are two teams with less than 5% to make the playoffs, though. This is a nothing trade.
I don't think he's nervous at all, but I think the concept of, hey, here you go, since he take our guy and have a chance at potentially making the playoffs, It comes across as a little bit goofy. I get it, but hey, great. The Browns are the Browns.
Well, you guys were annoying me today with some of that.
I think that this is him taking another subtle shot and people missed it. Oh, he must be a lot smarter than me, being like, that guy's an idiot. I think he's just straight up calling him an idiot. This deal, I do not understand. Mike Tomlin should not care about this deal other than he's annoyed that it gives the Bengals a slightly better chance to beat his team. Yeah. Because an in-division trade of a starting quarterback that they deemed good enough in the saddest sense of the word. They took Dillon Gabriel in the third, Sanders in the fifth, and have a alleged? What am I allowed to say on Deshaun Watson? A horrible human being is their fourth quarterback. Like, yeah, I mean, sure, they chose him as their starter, but not because they liked their choices. Like, those teams had an 8. By the way, the metric said, Drew, they had an 8% and 5% chance, respectively, to make the playoffs when they made the trade. It's a nothing trade. It's two bad teams trading.
I mean, in general, it is true. The guy that you thought was good enough to be your starter, though, you're willing to trade in season to someone in your division. That is a pretty crazy thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a long-term. You're going nowhere, they're going nowhere. And even if they win somewhere,
but that's what we think. Like, this is the thing. That's what we think.
I know it's a fact the Bengals are going nowhere.
Because all of a sudden, if they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday.
No. Drew, you're talking to yourself about the Bengals again.
I was with you until you said, well, they might be going somewhere, implying that you think Joe Flacco is taking Cincinnati somewhere.
I didn't. No. Everybody thinks that they're going nowhere, to Cody's point.
Right.
Like, everybody thinks that they're going nowhere.
Right. And the opposite of that is that they're going somewhere, and I'm saying they're not.
Drew has talked himself into the Bengals have a chance.
No, I'm saying that everybody agrees with what Cody just said.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But what if that's not true and actually the Browns traded the person to help a division rival make it to the playoffs?
The Browns are going nowhere and he's not going to be their starter next year, so who cares? Who cares? If the Bengals go somewhere, they're not.
But that's
to be
why
clear.
Mike Tomlin made the comments. Like, I think he's a little bit more, I think he's a little nervous.
No.
Of Joe Flacco.
Drew. Yeah. What I hear here is Drew has talked himself. We don't have enough time.
Mike Tomlin
Drew has talked himself into the Bengals
team to not sack Jake Browning because they'd want Jake Browning. The same thing with Anthony Richardson. Mike Tomlin would tell the team to not hurt Jake Browning, to not even sack him. Make sure he doesn't get hit. That's how bad Jake Browning was playing.
It's not an opinion. I know. I know the Bengals are going nowhere. Nobody. That's not an opinion. It's not a thought. It's a fact.
Drew, add that to the file. Add that to the file you're building.
It will be added.
Oh, man. Up next, let's get back to the Chiefs.
Will be added.
No
poor
more Joe
Lamar
Flacco.
Jackson, poor Josh Allen. You know, this is what it's like to be. This is what he got a taste of what it was like yesterday. And he couldn't hang. Two picks.
Wait.
He stunk yesterday.
What are you?
Oh, we got to get to a break. We'll get back to the other side.
He stunk.
Let's talk about the Chiefs running backs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Coming up in 25 minutes, Nate Taylor from ESPN going to join us in studio. We'll get his perspective on the Chiefs win against the Lions, where things are at offensively, the MVP conversation, see what he makes of perhaps Matt Nagy's name coming up already in Tennessee, and anything new, if any, on the Josh Simmons front. Who
I don't feel like anybody's got anything new on that.
It's been pretty quiet. Nobody knows really what's going on, and more, you know, obviously, you know, the football side of it is he going to play on Sunday? Andy Reid really didn't know.
We don't have to get at it too long, but man, Drew, tough. You're convinced that they're going to get to 7-7?
I said if they can get to 7-7.
But they can't. You understand that, right?
You said they had the second easiest division or the second easiest schedule the rest of the way. I think that helps a little bit. The Steelers also have they might not even have to win 10 games to win the division. The Steelers have the 27th. Well, what did you say? They have the one of the hardest schedules left in the league. And the Steelers are, and the Ravens are basically out of it.
The Ravens are done. Yeah, they're done.
I mean, if you were to say 9-8 wins the division, I would say 7-7 gives you a pretty good shot when you get to get your starting quarterback back.
I'm just saying you can't get to 7-7 with Joe Flacco and the.
I guess we'll find out. I mean, there's no way to tell.
The 29th ranked offense and the 30th ranked defense. I don't think that team's going to get on a heater. and go 5-3.
All right, let's get back to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about a losing football team. The Chiefs running back conversation is a lot different now, I think, for the Chiefs internally than what it was a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, I think most people had basically come to the conclusion that, no, they're going to have to trade for a running back.
Yeah.
Then on Sunday morning, there was a report from Mike Garofolo that the Chiefs and Chargers were among at least two teams that had started at least calling teams about running backs. Now, in the report, it does not say, was that something that occurred this past week? Was that something that they had already called in weeks prior? Because I'm convinced now, and I don't think everybody's going to necessarily like it, but the way the offense is humming and the fact that they're getting a little bit more out of the running game, I think they're going to say, well, maybe we don't have to go give up draft assets for the future to go get a rental, you know, Breece Hall or Achane. I guess he has a year under his contract, but you get the point. I don't think they're going to do that. I still wouldn't mind it, that's for sure. But I wonder if they're going to make any trade. It's actually going to be more on rotational edge or some other help defensively, not on offense. We know it's not going to be a wide receiver for once. That's nice. It's not going to be an offensive lineman. That's nice also for once. You're not even worrying about that. It's, to me, going to be somebody on defense if they make a move at all. I don't think the urgency is going to be the same way unless there's an injury to the backfield. I believe they think they're getting enough out of the offense now.
I think that in reality, as much as we want to admit it, it's done. If you guys were hoping that they were going to trade for a running back, it's dead. It's not going to happen. Defensive line, that's real, and they need that. And it won't be, look, whatever pipe dream of Jeffrey Simmons or, I don't know, Hendrickson or whatever the hell you're thinking – elite level defensive linemen you think are coming to Kansas City, you can let that dream die. Someone else might go get Hendrickson. Someone might else go get Simmons. But knowing their cap numbers, that's just not super realistic. What we have not discussed is the Chiefs have figured out how to run. They are not as bad of a running team as you think. Now, part of that is because Patrick Mahomes exists. Okay, so I'll just admit that if you said running yards per their backs, they would obviously be a lot lower. They are the 11th best yards per game rushing attack in the NFL. But what has changed over the last 2 to 3 weeks is Isaiah Pacheco and them running under center. So Ted Nguyen, who covers some of this stuff from an analytical, and he ran all the numbers on Isaiah Pacheco, how he runs under center versus how he runs under shotgun. He averages a yard, more than a yard and a half more under center. He has 12% more of a success rate. He gets a yard and a half more before he gets contacted and averages more yards per rush after contact when they run under center. What I think they figured out is we will give it to Pacheco most of the time. And what it seems to settle into, 50% Pacheco, 30% Hunt, 20-ish, sometimes less percent for Breshad Smith. And what they've settled into is we'll throw it to Breshad. We'll use Kareem Hunt in short yardage. And when we run with Pacheco, we'll do it more under center, and this works. And because they're so good on offense in the passing game, I don't think they're going to feel like they care to fix it. And it's going to get easier to run now that Rashee Rice is back. Gold, teams are going to have to not play the run against Kansas City. Let's just face the reality. They're not going to be able to afford it.
That was happening in the first 3 weeks when the offense wasn't playing well. That was the whole stat. Like, hey, Pacheco's struggling and he's facing the lightest boxes of anybody in the NFL. That was why it was so concerning.
Going to increase.
And that's why it was so concerning. Well, now they're taking advantage of it. So yeah, teams are going to worry about the pass, but I'm saying even the first 2 weeks when the offense wasn't playing well, they still were giving them an opportunity to run the football. They just didn't have success doing it. There's a lot of reasons for that. I think, yes, the adjustment to go under center a little bit more has definitely helped. They're able to do a more play action that's being more successful. I think Pacheco is also just playing better football and is kind of regrouped after the drop pass on the screen. And he kind of said he needed a reset. And to his credit, he's playing some better football here right now and not making the mistakes.
Is there any other trade outside of those? Defensive line, we all agree they could use some help there. I saw someone earlier mention linebacker. I'm like, no, I think they like their rotation linebacker.
Unless there's an injury, they're in really good shape in linebacker.
Corner, they're not even using Christian Fulton yet, and they seem to have some depth there. Safety, we haven't really mentioned Hicks' name, and his playing time's been going down a little bit because they're playing Connor so much. So maybe there, but again, I don't think that's a position they target. Legitimately, the only two positions I think you can make an argument for the Chiefs should make a trade are running back and defensive line. And I'm telling you, they're not trading for a running back. They're just going to deal with what they have, accept what they have, and that is going to be how I think they're going to handle it the rest of the way, even though there were rumors that maybe they were looking. I think they found a bounce. Defensive line, however, please.
Interior or on the edge.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Derek Nnadi, did you see on Sunday Night Football? Did you see that old Pro Football Focus?
I was at so that. They didn't.
That's oh, sad. You were the game. So on the game, as you know, when they do their introduction, say, Derek Nnadi, whatever school he went to, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then below that, they have started putting the Pro Football Focus ranks for your position. Of 119 players, do you know where Derek Nnadi ranked?
Well, because you're bringing it up, I'm going to guess he was 119th.
Correct.
Okay.
Dead last. Well, it wasn't first.
Yeah.
He ranked out of PFF grades 119th out of 119 at his position. So, like, it doesn't really matter. They need help anywhere on the defensive line. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't matter if it's edge. And Charles Omenihue and Chris Jones are probably coming off of two of their better
That's
games.
The other part of this equation, though, Cody.
Like,
is,
I mean, I don't know.
The deadline is November 4th. It's a Tuesday afternoon. The Chiefs have multiple games till they get there. Charles Omenihue's coming off his best game of the year. If he were to get going more, then I think it changes their thought process. And then it's more of a, all right, if we think there's a good option that's pretty team friendly on a deal to bring in, then they do it versus necessity. I don't think they're going to feel like they have to go do anything. I think it's going to be more like, hey, is the market present itself in a way that makes a lot of sense? That's not jeopardizing our future too much. That's the beautiful
DeAndre
spot
Hopkins,
they're in.
I give up a fifth.
They're in a nice spot now where there's not the, oh my gosh, they have to go do this. They're not there anymore because of how things are trending for this football team.
I like it for the first time in years. We don't have to say which wide receiver should they go get.
Yeah, it's,
I forgot it's DeAndre Hopkins nice. Got 5 receiving touchdowns for this team last year until we did that list during the random question yesterday. I had completely spaced that possibility. Next year, right now, they have, what do they have? They don't have a second round? Oh, they do. They have, I don't know, their standard picks? I'm trying to look. Now I'm just kind of curious what kind of picks they have. What picks they have? Next year, because I'm curious what they have to operate with as it relates
to. Do they not have their full arsenal of their
normal
1-7?
They probably do. I just don't remember. They gave up. They have first, second, third, 2/4, because they got a fifth and a seventh, according to, I don't know, this article from Arrowhead Addict.
Gotcha.
That was written in March. Never mind. They probably traded one of those away. I don't know. But the point is they've got plenty of picks. I think they have their normal arsenal. They didn't trade any of their first or second, so we know that they didn't give anybody up on that. And DeAndre Hopkins didn't technically reach his incentive, so that deal ended up hurting them less overall. The whole key is I don't think they're going after a running back anymore. By the way, if they still could, I'm very interested in Breece Hall. I love the idea of, like, part of me, you know why I would make the argument if I were the Chiefs? If they sat me in a room and said, why would we even do this, man? The reason why I'd say to trade for running back is you don't know how many years you get with Patrick Mahomes just in general. Let's call it 10. He's 30 years old. Let's say you get a decade. You get a decade of absolute every year you got a chance to win the Super Bowl. Right now, you have the 11th ranked points per game defense. The 9th ranked points per game defense, the 11th ranked points per game offense, and they're getting hot. And you got Patrick Mahomes playing at an MVP level. You sure you don't want to go and just, like, tear down the league and put everyone in their place for the rest of the year and go win a Super Bowl? You won't care about that pick with Breece Hall if you just go take this damn thing. And part of me thinks that if you got Breece Hall with all the weapons you got on offense, you will run through teams. You'll be the greatest show on turf kind of offense. Not the best offense in football. One of the best offenses in NFL history is what it'll feel like.
As you know, it just depends on the asking price and how many other. I mean, we know the Chargers are already calling around for running backs. What other teams are calling around for running backs? What's that market look like? The Jets are already 0-6, so you know they should be willing to trade Breece Hall, but what's that look like? Achan, to me, is the guy I would acquire if I were a team that was looking for a running back at this point in time. The Dolphins are just kind of in no man's land right now at this
point. We both listed two running backs who are on teams that are going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can admit that. The Dolphins' only problem is they've got
someone
like
says,
a
what's the most you'd be willing to give up for any of the available backs?
Third.
Fourth. It'd have to be a conditional third. I'm not giving up a third. It'd have to be a conditional. Yeah, it'd have to be a conditional third for me to do that. Breece Hall and Achan, at least there's more than this year, like, possibility. Like, Kamara, I know he's under contract. Like, I'm not really interested in that money that it caught, like, down the road. Like, so that's where the value of the pick would be different for him versus Breece Hall or Achan if I felt like there was some future 2026, 2027 production coming as well. Then it changes my thought process. How much do they like the draft class next year out of the running backs? This is stuff we don't have the answer to that they are obviously looking at too.
No, I just don't feel like that deal's going to come. And like you said, maybe the defensive line deal doesn't come if they continue to get better under that area as well.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. Always encourage you to go watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Like and subscribe over on YouTube. You'll see everyone's interacting in the chat. More people to enjoy the show with together. For, you know, sometimes a text line, you're just interacting with us over on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and stuff. You can interact with everybody who's interacting with the show, which is a nice thing to have. Question I have today is...
It is nice, Cody. You know, it is.
Yeah.
It is real nice, I forget, you know?
Well, and sometimes people on the text line are like, did you see my text? Am I being ignored? Do you guys hate me? I'm like, I can't respond
to every text.
To every text that comes through.
We see them.
Yeah. So I try to pay attention when I can. Question I have today is about television and who is the audience for certain things. What I want to know, and then I'll give you my example so you can think about it for a minute, is when's the last time you watched a trailer for a show, a trailer for an episode of a television show, and you ask yourself, who the hell is watching that?
Oh.
Because the one that has continued to pop up in my feed, and I'm sorry if this is you and this is about to be offensive. If you are the intended audience or the person watching the 911 Lone Star episode when they go to space, I think you might have terrible taste in television, and I can't figure out who that episode's for. What are we doing? Breakout Cities, so spinoff series of 911, apparently, which was a show before, and now they're trying to take it to space. They called the episode Austin, We Have a Problem, and they sent an ambulance driver to space to try to save someone. And when I see that trailer every time, I wonder, who is watching this? Who is watching this show? Who would want to watch this episode? So the question I have for you is, what other show or episodes appeal? Or, you know, like I said.
So a couple things with it. I would say TV shows that are not on Netflix or the streaming apps nowadays, I don't really watch. Like back when I was in, you know, junior high and high school, I would watch, you know, whatever was on ABC, whatever the hit show was at the time on ABC or CBS or NBC, whatever. Now, I couldn't tell you the last time I just watched a standalone, like, show that is on, you know, let's call it Tuesday nights on ABC. I couldn't name you that. But I will say in the summertime is when it, because, you know, that's when they put on like this filler programming, and you'll see previews and trailers for these spinoffs of like new concept game shows that are just horrific.
Oh,
that are just terrible.
One versus 100.
Yeah, like new game shows. People,
poor
yeah,
Rob they'll Lowe. Have he's a on the other 911 show. And we're really knocking Rob Lowe's career off.
And they'll have some new celebrity hosting it. And the trailer looks like it's terrible. And it'll be on in the summertime on a, you know, on a Sunday night, and you're like, who the heck is watching this?
Someone says 60 to 70 year olds for this show. Over on YouTube, someone's comment, Brian's was, man, my 85-year-old grandmother is all about that show and can't wait for that episode. It is working. Somebody mentioned The Masked Singer is one of those shows for them. I will say my kids like watch it. Like if it comes, I haven't watched a full episode. It comes on after like sports or something else. I don't know. It's occasionally popped up and my kids are like silly costumes. It seems, I don't know. It's not for me. I don't like consume it regularly, but at least something there. Somebody says they don't understand the Is This Cake show.
Cody probably loves that.
I've never seen it. That's not a real baking show. That's just like they make cake to look like a computer and say, is it cake? That feels like kind of the only baking show I watch is The Great British Bake Off. As I told you, I don't watch any of the food show competition things. I don't watch top level.
You don't watch
chef
like the Holiday Baking Championship?
No.
Those ones are good for us.
No, I don't watch those.
Enjoy those.
Worth it?
Oh, I've
never seen it.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's just the
I might catch
different
an
people
episode
get
of,
you know, different people get creative with their ideas. It's the same sort of thing every year, I guess.
Somebody's mentioning shows now they do like. Somebody says their young daughter really loves that 911 show. So interesting, the ones that hit for people. Somebody said the Bee Tornado episode was pretty good. Bee Tornado. See, this is the part. I just don't feel like I can get on board with it. Like, I just can't get on board with it. Someone mentioned NCIS, Drew, which sounds like the kind of shows you watch pretty regularly. Didn't you say you watch those?
Used to watch the only NCIS that I've watched is the New Orleans one. That one ended a while ago. That one ended 4 or 5 years ago, I think, after COVID. But, yeah, normally I like those crime type of shows. So Dick Wolf is the name of the guy that created FBI and the FBI series. Very, very good series.
Yeah, he also
very, very
Law
good
and
executive
Order as well.
Producer. Yeah, he's very good.
People are familiar with Dick Wolf's
his
life.
Work.
I mean, he's pretty well known.
The FBI shows are obviously great. There's one for me, so I guess it's because it's not my cup of tea, but anytime a scary movie is on, it's like, who is that? I understand there's a lot of people who do it, but it ain't for me. Like, I don't know how people get to that point where they want to voluntarily watch scary movies. Yeah, that's...
Can I ask about one show that I haven't started watching that I think I'm gonna? Has anybody started watching Task? It looks great. people are talking about it like it's great. I was just looking for someone I
what
know
is that on?
Like, to give me HBO. Someone I know to give me the like, yeah, man, you should watch that show. It's a crime thriller. It feels right up your alley too, Gold. It's got Mark Ruffalo and a couple of other people. The guy who plays her brother in Ozark and all this stuff. And he's trying to get after like a gang.
Oh, Tom. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I can't remember his name.
Pelfrey?
Or yeah, whatever Pelfrey. And so, like, cast looks good. Trailers look good. Every time I put on HBO for something else, I'm always tempted by it. But I hadn't started it, so I just thought, since we're talking TV, maybe he could tell me whether or not it's anything.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all.
I haven't started a new show in a while. During football season, I don't really start new shows, typically.
Somebody mentioned Golden Bachelor is a show they don't understand why anybody watches. I mean, I don't know. I already watched The Bachelor. To go one up feels... like side quest
Golden
one
Bachelor.
Feels like a lot.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my random question of the day.
Thank you.
Now we just got people mentioning shows they do like.
That's fun.
Not a single person yet telling me whether or not Task is good. Is nobody watching this show yet? Just trying to figure out one person. That's all. You're not watching any show right now?
No, I'm waiting. No.
What are you watching like a Tuesday night? Let's say there's no baseball tonight. There is baseball.
That's the thing. It's like we're in a flow where there is sports on every single night.
Is there any? Yeah, I mean, there is.
We're in a stretch where we're getting doubleheader Monday night games. We're getting Thursday night football, college football on Saturday, NFL all day Sunday, MLB playoffs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like right now, I don't need any TV shows
booked.
To watch. I'm booked up.
He's booked. Just like
we're
the Grinch
booked
said.
Up.
I think
you gotta vary your viewership. You know, I'm not married to one thing.
I like watching plenty of shows, just not right now. I mean, Succession. Oh my gosh, the Severance. I've watched over the last. Couple of months, but
the way you really did just rattle off that stuff, you sound like the Grinch in that movie in Jim Carrey's Grinch, where he's just, well, I got this and I got this and I got this.
No, I'm just saying that I have watched shows that are quote unquote newer shows. I just right this second, I'm already done with those. I don't need to watch Severance. I'm caught up.
Pick up Task.
I guess I still have a few more episodes of the new season of Ted Lasso I need to watch, but I don't know. I'm not gonna go home this afternoon and just watch 2 hours of Ted Lasso from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I'd rather not. I don't know.
Text line's catching up so far. Three people have commented. Said Task is great.
Yeah. Someone says, who are all the podcasts on Odyssey they advertise the heck out of during the show for? I don't know.
I don't listen to the podcast commercials, as you can imagine, very often when I'm
on the show.
So you have to tell me.
Tell us what's the great ones? What are the good ones? Stranger Things is starting up. That is true. That'll get me to start watching again. That is true. The new season comes out.
Do they release it all at once?
I think it's a part two-parter, I think, is how they're doing
it. But is it binge release, like all 8 episodes?
Oh, in I do not know.
Swoop or
my
week?
Guess is they're slowing it down.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
My schedule wouldn't allow it.
That's you, Alex Gould, right there.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Drew.
You just, you know, just ask him which shows we didn't like. I've watched that trailer because it shows up on whatever YouTube TV or whatever I'm watching on. That 911 space one has showed up so many times. I'm like, I can't take this trailer anymore. If I promise to watch the episode, can I get a different commercial? I'll watch just that one episode. I promise. If you will stop feeding me the commercial for the episode of the show I do not want to see. I would genuinely sign up for that. If I promise to buy a product of a commercial, if I promise to buy a 6-month subscription for Renov Q or whatever, can I stop getting the commercial? Can I get a fresh one? Whatever stupid one I'm sick of seeing. Keysempta.
See, now you're aware of the show.
Can I get some
Keysempta? Now you're aware of the show.
Whatever it takes.
See, you're aware of it now. That's how this works.
You need to talk
to your... I'm never going
to
watch it.
You need to talk to your phone long enough where all of a sudden the ads are just programmed for things that you want to hear, Cody. You just have to, you know.
But I mean, you know, that's like I'm stopping drug commercials from coming through. No matter what, those are coming through.
Yeah, yeah.
Just is what it is, man.
That's the random question of the day here on Cody and Gold. Thinking of streaming, don't forget, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount. Plus, watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with this Week 7 matchup between the Raiders and Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Nate Taylor from ESPN going to join us in studio. We'll ask him about the Chiefs' offensive line and will they have Josh Simmons for Sunday, what he expects Rashee Rice's role to be on Sunday, plus the rest of the NFL next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.